Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Show, where our mission is to inspire, influence, and impact other immigrant entrepreneurs to follow their dreams and create the future that they desire and want. My guest today is Alicia Jarrett from Australia. Alicia, welcome and amazing to have you as our guest today. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Ali. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And yes, as people can probably tell from the accent, I am an Aussie, although I did get asked the other day if I was from New Zealand. And about 2 weeks ago, someone asked if I was from England. And I was like, I think after all these years of working in the US, maybe my Aussie accent is not as Aussie as what it used to be. And I find myself saying words like data instead of data. It's quite funny, but great to be here, Ali. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming over. I know you're very busy. You're running multiple businesses very successfully. And you've been doing this actually remotely from Australia, which is something that is very unusual, you know, being in a different country and also different time zone and running not only one business, but multiple businesses. Please give us an overview of what you do, and then we will definitely discuss how you got where you are.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So you're right. We do actually, funnily enough, though, we're recording this at the moment and I'm over here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I saw you in Tampa a couple of, about 6 weeks ago now. So I'm often in the States, but most of the time I'm running everything from Australia. So we have, my business partner, Matt, and I, we have a real estate investing business in the US. So we're doing vacant land. And as you and I know, we've talked a lot about vacant land over the years. We actually started, Ali, doing houses about 8 years ago. So we were fixing and flipping houses. And you know, when you go back to when the television shows for fixing and flipping houses first started on HGTV, we often used to joke, we're like, wow, this would make a great TV show, like two Aussies from the other side of the world coming and buying properties in Florida and doing them up and fixing and flipping them. But that's what we did when we started. And then we got into vacant land and we did that. We still do that, which is great. But our other business is a real estate marketing business. So we realized that there's other real estate investors like ourselves that often need a lot of help when it comes to their marketing. So their data, their direct mail, their digital footprint, all of these things that we need to do to be successful real estate investors. And so we started that about 4.5 years ago now. That's now got a team of 20 that are all around the world. They're in like four different countries. And that's super exciting. So yeah, normally I feel kind of cool because this has just gone 8 o'clock in the morning for me here in Phoenix, but normally I'm up at about 4:45 in the morning in Australia so that I can maximize, US hours. So it's nice to be over here.
I know. I remember when we had a few calls and I was in Switzerland back then, I was always asking you, what time is it? And you were like, oh, it's 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., you know. I was like, wow. So it takes a lot of discipline because I have done it also, working from a different time zone when we have projects in the U.S. It takes a lot of discipline to, you know, to be there and also focused and, you know, connect with people and know what's
correct.
Going on.
Yeah. What's going on? I'd add to that, it's discipline, it's grit, it's determination. It's all of these things, right? Because I don't know too many people. And let me kind of put this frame up front. Because I think this will be good to kind of lead into part of our conversation about being like global entrepreneurs and things as well. If someone had have said to me 8 years ago when we started this adventure, look, you're going to go years without a vacation. You're going to be working, you know, 12, 13 hour days pretty regularly, sometimes 14 hours. You're probably going to miss some family events and birthdays and a few other things, and your friends are not going to get what you do for a living and all of this stuff. Like, yeah, that's what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And I think if we ask people that question up front, like, are you willing to give up all of that stuff? A lot of people would say no. You know, a lot of people would not be not only willing to do it, but probably get a couple of months in and go, nah, this is not for me. But, you know, it does take a lot to keep doing what we're doing. And we got to get up every day and keep that focus on why we're doing what we're doing and who we're here to serve and keep going.
That's also absolutely, I 100% agree with that and can relate and resonate with that. And that's also a reason why I believe so many startups fail, you know, because on the outside it looks so promising and nice and rainbow and everything is colorful. But when you actually get into it, you realize, hey, it's not as easy and as cool as it sounds, you know? So that's why a lot of people give up after 6 months, a year, two, maybe five, because they realize it's way harder than it looks like, you know? So now
Correct.
combine this with being even in a different country and doing business from there, it makes it even way harder, you know?
It does. This is where I think, Ali, you and I should stop every now and then and get our hands and pop it here and just give ourselves a little bit of one of these, because it's not often that we do sit down and go, wow, look at what we're doing. Like, this is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. It's pretty crazy at the same time as well, right? But it's pretty cool.
That is absolutely. And you know, oftentimes also depending on where you are and what you do, when you share, or at least it was in my case, when I was sharing with my friends and family sometimes in Switzerland, you know, what are the projects that I'm involved, no matter what it was, because it's culturally so different. The consumer behavior, it's so different in where you do business and in a different place that you live. When you share it with people, they have no idea what you're doing,
No
you know.
idea. I'm sure I've got, I laugh because my mum is my biggest fan. She watches all of my podcasts, and every now and then I have some friends that watch my podcast and they're like, great podcast, still don't understand what you do. And I'm like, that's okay. You don't need to understand it because you're not in America.
Right.
Everything that we do over here business-wise is so different to how we do stuff in Australia. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Absolutely. And so I would love to discuss or understand and learn a little bit. Hey, what made you decide doing business from one side of the world to the other? You know, was there no business in Australia and you know, you saw the only opportunity doing things remote in the US? What was it like?
Well, I guess let me start by saying I already had my own business in Australia. So my background, I don't know if you know this, Ali, but my background is in like leadership development, organizational development, people strategy, like it's that. So I used to go and run training sessions in corporate organizations, run leadership events. I had a quite a detailed leadership program that I used to run that went for months at a time in different corporate settings across Australia, which was wonderful, and I loved what I did. And as you've met me, you could probably imagine this. I used to speak for a living, which is, I always laugh at that because I'm very hard to keep quiet. I love to talk. So I already had a really great business, but here's the catch 22. My business was dependent on me. I was the brand. I had to exchange my time for money. And there's only so much of that you can do before you get very burnt out. And there's only so much that you can take with that, right? So I had a great business. My business partner, Matt, was also very successful in his career. But we both just, I don't know, there was just something yearning in us, Ali, that was like, there's got to be more than this because I am tied down to always being somewhere to have to earn money. I want to have a business that, as long as I have a laptop and a phone, I can do business from anywhere in the world. And Matt was the same. And so we just started to look at different opportunities globally. And the whole idea about doing real estate in the US came up. And it was actually at a conference that I was at the time. It was this kind of speakathon, if you like, where all these different people from all around the world were talking about their businesses, their successes, their processes. And then they were selling a course to go and learn how to do what they do. And one of the speakers was actually a house fix and flipper here in the States. And I was listening to him at the time. And this is going back 8 years ago now, almost nine, I think. Yeah, about eight, somewhere around there. Anyway, long time ago. And it was at the time where fixing and flipping houses was still really awesome to do, lots of profits in the deals, lots of deals to be done as well. And I went, that sounds awesome, because we both had a couple of properties in Australia. And I was like, wow, all the different things that we can do with properties in the US, we can't do that back in Australia, that the numbers don't make sense, the strategy doesn't make sense, all of those things. And I was like, let's do it. Let's explore it. And fast forward 8 years on, and here we are. Like, I didn't think when we started out 8 years ago, it wasn't our plan to be where we are now, but gee, it's worked out well.
That's amazing and also very inspiring. You know, when I listen to you, it sounds like, okay, you started and you decided and then you started and then, you know, everything went very smoothly and straightforward.
Oh, no, it didn't. There is no going smoothly. I love that that's what you think when you talk to me, but I don't think you would ask any entrepreneur or anyone doing business in another country from the other side of the world. I don't, if you said to them, has it all gone smoothly? I don't know that you'd get anyone that would say yes. We have Absolutely. Not gotten here without bumps in the road and challenges and learning opportunities. Like that's par for the course of being an entrepreneur, right?
Right. Absolutely. Is there a challenging moment or period of time that you remember in your life? This was tough. I was almost about to give up.
That's happened a number of times. Don't get me wrong. Like I think, and this is going to be me being quite vulnerable here, right? I think a lot of people will see from the outside looking in, they'd be like, oh my goodness, AJ, she's traveling around. She's doing all this stuff. She's, you know, wow, that's amazing. And I often have friends that tell me, gee, you're inspiring. And I'm like, no, don't say that yet, because there's a lot of stuff going on under the surface that people do not know about. They're never going to know about the financial hardships that you go through, the challenges that you might have with your business, when things go wrong, like, you know, that stuff is difficult. And I reckon in the last 8 years, Ali, there's probably been a good 4 or 5 times where Matt and I have gone, gee, this is getting too hard. Like, do we give up? But we keep coming back to that thing about why we started this and all the people that we're helping. And it's like, no, we're not going to give up. We're never going to give up. Even when we do go through tough times, like you've got to have that grit and that determination to keep moving forward, right? But that's not easy for everyone. There's been lots of times where there's been tears and tantrums and a whole range of things that have gone on that I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. But you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off and you keep going. And actually, I've got to read you a quote that one of my friends sent me yesterday, because I was having a bit of a moment with him and he sent me this message afterwards and he said, Ordinary people look at every challenge as their last chapter. Extraordinary people know that when they write the story of their life, that the challenge at most might be a sentence and probably a comma, and a story has never ended on a comma. And it was like, yeah, I needed to hear that, because it's not, when you're going through stuff, it's not the last chapter. It's just another sentence in your story.
Absolutely. I can so much relate to that. You know, when I was younger, I was oftentimes I was seeing myself as a victim, and I was like, oh, why did I have to go through all of this? And look at other people around me. They have had such an easy life and they had all the blessings that they were after. And then at some point I realized, hey, this is what makes my story so good. Yeah. This is what makes my story so special, not only for me, but also for other people that might get and definitely will get inspired by my story. Because if I was able to overcome those challenges and push through, then guess what? They will definitely do it. You know,
exactly. This is what I love about this podcast and obviously meeting you along the way as well, is that, you know, the more that we can share our stories with people and inspire others, even if we change one person's life by listening to this, where they go, well, Ali can do it and AJ can do it. So yeah, maybe I can too. And let me kind of preface this, right? We didn't have any background in real estate or marketing. So our businesses that we have today are not where Matt and I came from. But we've learned, we've applied, we've put things into practice, we've modified, we've grown, we've developed, we're doing all these things. So I don't want anyone to look at us and think, gee, that's really super special and these guys are amazing. Like, no, we're normal people going about our day, doing what we do, just like you.
Failing, getting up, failing, learning, moving, you know, and yeah, absolutely. So I would love, if you don't mind, I would love to hear more about, some of the challenges that you had to go through, specifically when you had to do business other than different time zone and, culture. What were the challenges that you had to go through doing business in a different country also? And then you were like, this is not going to work. Like really, really questioning yourself and your capabilities and everything.
Couple of challenges. I guess the first challenge, if I think back, is having people take us seriously in the US. So coming over here and doing business and saying, hey, we are from Australia, we're going to be investing in the US. And there was a couple of people, I think, back then that were just like, not sure that's going to work. So overcoming those challenges of other people believing in us, we overcame that pretty quickly. The second challenge, I think, was when we were doing houses, Ali, so fixing and flipping houses. We did quite a few that worked really, really well, but the last one that we did, honestly, it nearly broke us. We thought doing this house that it was going to be about a 3 month turnaround, pretty easy fix and flip. It was a more expensive property in a more expensive area. We thought, great, that's going to be amazing, fantastic. Everything ticked all the right boxes. This project was anything but that. It took more than 12 months to do. We had a number of challenges on the job where contractors, and this was at the time where everybody wanted to get into houses. So keeping contractors on site was difficult. We lost people to other projects and our actual project manager ended up having a nervous breakdown. It was nothing to do with us. It was just everything in his life. And I think the project just tipped him over, which is really sad. We had people stealing stuff from site. We had a major break-in where they stole the fridge and the washing machine and all that kind of stuff. It was one thing after another that went wrong. And after 12 months and hundreds of thousands of dollars, we finally got it finished and we broke even. So we basically
Wow.
walked, we didn't lose anything, but also we didn't gain anything. And it was like, oh, that stung. That really hurt. Because you put in all this time and effort, and when it doesn't pay off, it's like, kind of feels like a little bit of a failure, right? But I look at that as a blessing because that particular challenge was what took us into vacant land. Because we thought maybe houses isn't for us. Maybe doing houses from the other side of the world is not for us. So that's when we got into vacant land and started exploring that as well. I guess other challenges, financial challenges. You do have months where things are going awesome, but you also, not only just being self-employed, but also working from the other side of the world, you do have months where things aren't great, where it's like, oh, can we keep doing this? I think that I was only thinking the other day, there's probably, and everyone stresses about different things, but for me personally, there's two main things that I stress about. Number one is my health. Number two is finances. Because if you don't have your health, then nothing matters. But also, financial stress is a real thing for a lot of people, especially when you've got team members and family members that are relying on you to do this, right? It's huge. It's a lot to weigh on your shoulders. And so when we get into challenges that either put finances at risk or my health at risk, they're the things that make me go into overwhelm a little bit. And now that those challenges, they happen and they're still going to happen. I think someone actually said to me the other week, that once you make into your millions, you're going to stress about how you keep it or how you don't lose it. And I was like, well, we're not there yet, but when we have had some really good periods where things have been awesome, which has been great, and I haven't stressed about losing it, but I do certainly have a tolerance that when our bank account gets to a certain amount, I call it like the actually I won't call it what I call it because it's a bit crass, but I get to a point where I'm comfortable, and then it's like, oh no, not comfortable. And those points happen pretty regularly because when you're in business and you're growing a business and you're investing things back in, it does take cash flow and it does take you being uncomfortable with where that's at. I'm not going to say that's a challenge, but I'm going to call it uncomfortable because being in comfort doesn't mean growth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you're exploring new opportunities, that means also that you're way outside of your comfort zone. But the good thing is, hey, now guess what? You're growing. You're going to new places that are unknown to you, and you haven't you haven't have been before. So now you're
Yeah.
growing. That means also being uncomfortable. So I love that. When I was listening to you saying that you transitioned from flipping houses and fix and flipping houses to land, and you know, when that moment you were going through the challenges, it sounds like yeah, it was a challenge, and I don't know what it was, so that's why I'm asking, what took you through that phase of challenge? Because normally when we fail or we hit rock bottom or whatever we call it, then there is a transition phase that takes us to what we see as a failure to what actually leads us to the next step, to the next phase of
yeah.
life. So
yeah,
what
yeah.
was it in your case that helped you with that?
Great question. Well, I think the first thing is we didn't see it as a failure. Because the language that you attach to things like this is really important, right? We didn't see it as a failure because we still fixed and flipped a house. We still had a lot of learnings in there, and it's not like we lost anything, right? All that we really did lose was time. That was the main thing. And yes, I know time is the biggest currency and you can't get it back. But how we transitioned through that was to pause, first of all, like time out. Is this still the strategy that we want to do? So do we still want to do houses? The answer was no. And the reason why we came back with a resounding no is the market had shifted. So 8 years ago, you know, markets go in cycles. We're going through a cycle right now where interest rates are changing, the economy's changing, what people are doing with buying and selling properties is changing. And it was the same 8 years ago. Like everything goes through a cycle. And so we were really just looking at, well, what would be a strategy that would be less stressful? Like what would be an asset class that we could still do with the same principles, like buying a property, selling a property, but with some more ease in there. And when I say ease, you know, when we talk about vacant land, we say there's no trash, no toilets, no tenants, no termites. There often is trash. I was on a call last night with a customer that had 37 tons of trash on this property
Wow.
that he had to get rid of. Like I'm talking a dozen cars, five motorbikes, a double wide that he had to get rid of, like, but he ended up making over six figures on the deal. And I'm like, that's fantastic. But going back to that transition phase that you were asking. So really then just coming back to, well, what could be a new strategy that we could do that would give us the outcome that we want, but we could probably do it a bit easier. And after doing some research, that's how we came across vacant land. And so it still met our goals of being able to work anywhere with a laptop and a phone. It still had the right business model in it. And we knew that if we can do houses, we can do land. Because once you know how to do the housing market, the land market is pretty similar. It doesn't have a building on it, but to some degree, it's actually easier. So so that's what we decided.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what was it, you know, you said you had no background. Obviously, nobody starts as an entrepreneur. You come to a point in life that you decide,
yeah.
hey, I don't want to work for anyone else. Now I want to be my own boss. And then you realize, okay, as we discussed, it's way harder than it sounded. What was it for you like what were you doing before you decided to become an entrepreneur and work for yourself?
Yeah, yep. So as I mentioned earlier, I already had my own consulting and training business. So I'd been self-employed for more than a decade. And so being self-employed, and I'm going to use that word quite deliberately here, and I'll tell you why in a second. Being self-employed wasn't something that was new to me. So I was quite comfortable with the unknown of, you know, not getting a monthly or a weekly paycheck and having to be your own boss and having to regularly step outside your comfort zone, all of those things. So that didn't bother me at all. But what actually bothered me was calling myself an entrepreneur. And let me tell you why. In Australia, it's not a word that is used very much. We have what we call the tall poppy syndrome in Australia, where if you want to be something, you know, more than what everyone else is, then people will cut you down because it's like, no, don't be outside the norm. Just stick within your lane type thing. So the word entrepreneur had never been part of my vocabulary until I really started working in the US. And I realized that over here, entrepreneurialism, there's a big word for the morning. It's normal. There's so many people over here that are entrepreneurs, and I'm not talking self-employed. I'm talking now I think there's a difference, right? Being self-employed and just doing what you do and having a product that you're not going anywhere with or doing much with, like that's what it was. Now we're building new products, new services, we're disrupting an industry, we are creating new opportunities for our customers. We're really, that's the whole thing about entrepreneurialism, right? Is when you're breaking molds and starting to step out of different norms. And I didn't really see myself in that light, Ali, until probably a couple of years ago. I was just always saying, "Oh, we've got a business in the US," is what I used to say. I never used to say, "Oh, we're entrepreneurs that have got products and services in the US." That was a different sentence for me. So I guess I had to become comfortable with that whole concept of what is an entrepreneur, and does that fit what I'm doing and what Matt's doing? And yeah, it does. It does. It's kind of crazy that what we call ourselves often dictates what we think about ourselves too.
100%. I love that. And did you also? So I so much resonate with what you said again. And would you say, because oftentimes we get to hear, okay, you have to become the person who you want to be in order to have the things that you want to have, regardless of its materialistic things or, in business. So would you say when you had this mindset shift that you said, okay, now I am the entrepreneur, I allow myself to be the person that I want to be. Would you say things changed also in your business?
Yes, I would. I would. And it's again, a vulnerable moment is my business partner Matt has always been very entrepreneurial. So he's always coming up with new ideas, new things, new concepts, like even before we got into our real estate business, right? It's just the way he thinks, which I think is wonderful. I wasn't that way inclined. Like I'm, even when I was self-employed, coming back to what I was saying before, I was always the kind of person that was kind of, I was okay in a comfort zone. That was all good. So when I started to see myself as an entrepreneur, what that meant is I needed to push the boundaries of what I thought was possible, the boundaries of what I think my day-to-day job within the business is, the boundaries of my limiting beliefs around could I do this, should I do this, because a lot of the times when Matt was saying, "Hey, I need you to jump over here and get involved in this part of the business or this part of the business," I was like, there was this internal dialogue in me that was like, "But I'm not good at that, and I don't know how to do that yet, and I've never done that before," and I had to really overcome that because that's how I kind of grew up, and my whole imprint was, yeah, get out there and learn, but once you master something, just stick with it. You'll be right. But the whole concept of really getting out of my own way, still to this day, it happens, right? The last week was a really tough week for me that I'm over here in the US, I'm here by myself. And I'll be honest, it was one of those weeks that I did have some tears and some tantrums. But again, you have to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and go, you know what? It's okay. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't stay stuck in the moment. Just keep moving forward. And that's the kind of thing that you can only do by learning. You can't be an outsider looking in and say, well, yeah, no, if times get tough, I'll know how to work through that. You really don't know until life tests you, until your business really tests you. And so I don't know if that's answered your question or not, but yeah.
And one thing that I also believe as we grow up with the society and the norms that we're put in, it's always, hey, you have to play by the rules in order to be to be a good girl or to a good boy, go to school, do whatever they tell you. Don't try to play outside of the rules and think outside of the box. No, this is the way you think. This is the way you behave. And as we become entrepreneurs, we actually realize, no, sometimes you can disrupt your own thinking. You can break the rules sometimes if you're still playing somehow between the boundaries. And this is also, at least in my case, has been something that I still have to deal with from day to day. Hey, sometimes it's told you to do that, but maybe this is the better way and easier way to do it for everyone.
Yep, correct, correct. I completely resonate with that, Ali. And I guess society, if you like, will tell us what those norms are, but an entrepreneur lives by different norms. And this is why I love coming over here and going to, networking events and masterminds and things like that, because you end up surrounding yourself with these people that do think differently, that aren't bound by societal norms. And that's really challenging. And I will say one of the biggest challenges, I think, with being an entrepreneur is, and again, I know my friends and family will hear me use that word and go, because it's not a word that we use in Australia, right? I think the biggest thing is that you do find that the circle of people that get what you do and how you operate becomes very small, very small. Mm-hmm. And it's a good circle, but it's a small circle. And you've really got to think about who you surround yourself with, people that can lift you up rather than pull you down. And I don't mean pull you down, because I know that there's people in my life that love me dearly and I love them dearly, and they would never ever deliberately pull me down. But because they don't get the life of what I'm living, they also can't lift me up.
Sometimes I also see it that way, because they don't want to lose the old you that they know and they can so much relate and they can share so much with. Now they're seeing, oh, this person is changing. This person are doing things that I cannot relate to at all. And then it becomes like, no, stay here. Not still coming from a good place and with a good heart, but they actually don't know that they're not serving you any longer.
Yes, I agree.
You're not serving them.
Yeah, it's like when I announced to a lot of my family and friends that we're going to be moving to the US, I had a lot of mixed emotions with that, because I had some people that were like, that's amazing, go for it, that's fantastic. My parents were just wonderful. They're like, as long as you think that that's the right thing to do, just go for it and fly. We're going to be always here being your biggest supporter. But I also had some people that said, no, you can't do that. Like, you're not going to leave me. People questioning it, which came from a place of good. I never saw it as a negative, but it's interesting how other people put their beliefs, their way of living, their way of doing onto you to want to keep that connection with you. And the fact of the matter is, Ali, like, I'm still the same person. Mm. I haven't changed. I'm just doing different things.
Mm. That's so true. As you said, so you are now going to the next phase of your life, but also your entrepreneurial life, which is immigrating to the US. Tell us more about that. What does it look like? Let's start with when and why did you decide that now it is the right thing to do? Moving to the US is the next right step for you to take.
Great question. So interestingly enough, we were in the process of looking to move here before COVID hit. We were in the US. When COVID got really bad, we were here. We were checking out places that could be potential places to live. And then this thing called a pandemic hit, and we had to get on a plane and get back to Australia because we weren't protected over here in terms of our insurance and different things. So we had to go home. So we'd actually ended up being back in the US for a couple of years. We didn't come back over here for at least 2.5, 3 years, somewhere around there. Maybe 2.5 years, which is a long time for people that were here regularly. It's a long time to not be here. But the good thing with that is it really forced us to look at how we were running our business and what we could do more remotely. So that was a good thing. But then when we came back here earlier in the year, we were back here for a trip and we went to another mastermind and some other things. And it was just, there was just a feeling in both of us that was like, gee, it makes a difference when we're here, when we can see people face to face, when we can go and network and connect with people, when we can surround ourselves with people that are like us. It just makes a huge difference to our thinking, our progress, all of these things. And so we were just having a conversation, and it was actually me that said, gee, I really think we need to be here. And Matt said, yeah, I agree. And then that put the wheels back in motion again. So over the last few months, like, we've been back to the States a few times, checking out a few places that could be potential home. And now we're in the process, very early stages, but we're in the process of starting that journey of well, we've now got an immigration attorney. We've done some preliminary stuff with them. We know what visa we can apply for. We've got some basic things lined up with them so we can push the go button when we're ready. But now we've got to think about, okay, now we've got to pack up a house. We've got pets that we need to think about. Do we bring them over? Do we not? What does that look like for us? So it's going to be an interesting journey over the next 6 months or so when we are going through that phase of packing up life and coming over here, which I know you've been through, right?
Absolutely. And so many decisions to make, which is at times scary and also exciting, right? Okay, now I didn't think about this. I have to do that. What do we about this? But it's very exciting. At the same time, a lot of new decisions that, at least in my case, I haven't even thought about for decades. And
Yeah.
now I had to think about all of this. So what are the criterias in your case when you think about, okay, what are the places that we could potentially move to in the US?
Oh, you're gonna laugh, but so I know you're in Tampa and we got to see
Right.
you a little while ago. And then after we saw you, we went down to St. Petersburg in just outside of Tampa. Absolutely loved it. I was like, St. Pete, I can live here. This has got the vibe that I want, and it's close to the ocean. So one of my criteria is I need to be near the ocean because it's something that I kind of hold dear. Yeah, ticked all the right boxes. But then we had to fly back to Australia, and from that side of the country to Australia with stopovers and different things, it took 36 hours to get home. It's a big chunk of time. And I was like, maybe East Coast is not where it's at. Maybe we need to be more West Coast. So then we thought, well, where in the West Coast is somewhere that's got that similar vibe, and really good weather and is oceanside? And that's San Diego. And we've been to San Diego a few times already. And every time we're there, we're like, we really like San Diego. It's kind of cool. It's great. So now we're exploring San Diego. So the main criteria was, for Matt and myself, is we need to be in a city that is what we call walkable. There's a lot of cities in the US that you need a car to go everywhere. And we're the kind of people that we like to live in the middle of everything. We like to walk to local cafes and restaurants and, get out and about and don't feel like we always have to get in a car to go somewhere. So finding somewhere that was a really walkable city, and San Diego certainly got a lot of those areas as well. And it's a city that thrives on exercise. There's always people out riding bikes down the waterfront and stuff like that. And St. Pete had that same feeling. Like the when we were in St. Pete, there was just a lot of people out and about in the city and on the shorefront. And it's like, yeah, that's got my kind of vibe about it. Whereas there's been lots of other cities that I've loved, like Austin is one of them. But you definitely have to drive a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like we'll happily get in cars and drive places, but we like to have a lifestyle that is quite European in that essence, right? That you're in the middle of things and stuff's walkable. So that's kind of our criteria.
Okay, it sounds like San Diego is it, and this is the place you guys are going
I think it's
to.
going to be. Yep, I think it's
Okay.
going to be. On our next trip back early next year, we're going to go and check out a few places there to, really consider. So super exciting.
That sounds very promising and very exciting. Absolutely. I would love, going through all the challenges and becoming the person who you are and running and owning all these businesses. It's amazing. But if you could go back in time, because that might be also where our listen or some of our listeners are, if you could go back in time and tell yourself, during the phase that you were building everything and you were grinding and going through all these challenges and maybe anxious and worried and scared, what would you tell yourself back then with all the things that you have experienced and know today?
That's a really good question. What I'm actually going to start with is all what everything that you just described is how I feel still now. So I'm still get worried and scared and anxious, and I still get overwhelmed because the journey of an entrepreneur never stops. You're always in a growth phase, and especially when you've got customers relying on you and employees relying on you, that stuff is always there. So you've got to make sure that if you're entering this entrepreneurial journey, that you ask yourself, like, am I the kind of person that's resilient enough to bear the weather that we're going to go through on a sometimes daily, weekly, monthly basis? And if the answer is no, like if you're looking for comfort, then stick with a job, like stick with working for someone else, because this is not easy. And I'll be super honest with people about that. And even when I have, you know, people that go, wow, you know, you guys, it's great. And I'm like, no, yes, there's some awesome stuff, but this is not easy. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, which is why there's not a huge amount of people in the entrepreneurial space, right? So keep that in mind, people. Really ask yourself, like, is this what you want to do? Is this the kind of life that you want to lead? And really come back to your big purpose as to why you're doing what you do. To go back to answer your question, though, what would I tell my earlier self about this? I probably didn't realize the journey that we were going to go on, Ali. And I probably would have said to myself, because very early on, like, things were quite easy. In the first year or two of us doing business in the US, stuff was pretty easy. And I probably would have said to myself, be okay with it to not be easy. Be okay with the fact that if the first year was easy and the second year is difficult, that's okay. Like, if you're continually growing, then it's okay to still be in the uncomfortableness. It's okay to still ask yourself questions every now and then and to still pause and go, oof, you know, have I got what it takes today? Because that's normal. And I would have maybe set my expectation a little different. Like, I would have looked back at myself 8 years ago, like I was already self-employed, as I said, but maybe I would have said, you know, are you really up for this? But here's the difference here, right? If I had have asked myself 8 years ago, are you really up for this, and described the last 8 years, I probably at that time, Ali, would have turned around and said, no, I don't think I'm up for this. So probably I'm going to turn this around and say the advice I would have given myself back then is don't underestimate your limits. Because you don't know what you're capable of until you're in a situation that you're either being tested or you're growing or you're overcoming a challenge or you're really, you know, taking yourself out of your comfort zone. So maybe that's the advice, and just talking out loud now, that's the advice I would have given myself is don't underestimate yourself, because you've got so much more in you than what you ever thought was possible.
That's so powerful. And I can so much relate to what you said as tested, because it's something that I have experienced in my own life and truly live by, is I believe when we get, you know, things thrown at us in life, it's all and challenges, and we think, oh my God, this is not gonna, you know, I cannot handle with this. And then we realize we can handle with this and we can overcome it and we can push through it. I always believe that life is testing us to put us to the higher level, next level, whatever we want to describe it as, to give us even more responsibilities. Because when you become more successful, and whatever success is to someone, then you have to deal with bigger things, with bigger challenges. And now you have to prove yourself that you are ready to take on the next level of challenges, you know. So I don't know, what do you think about that?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And that really resonated with me when you're saying that, because I do think that life throws challenges at the people that it knows can handle it, right? You know, a lot of the stuff that I've been through over recent years, I really don't know a huge amount of people in my life that would be able to handle the stress, the pressure, the stuff that we've gone through. And I say gone through, still go through. And is it by choice? Yeah, because we chose to be here. And I think that's one of the big distinctions as well, is people go, oh, well, you can always go back and find a job. You can always go back and be self-employed or do what you were doing. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm not going to go through the last 8 years to get to a point and give up. Like, that's not an option. And I think being really clear with yourself about what your options are. You've got an option to keep going no matter how hard this gets, or you've got an option to give up. And give up is not part of the option for me. So, yeah, it's an interesting journey, and I really agree with everything you said.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I always tell myself, or in my case, I ask myself sometimes, hey, why did you get started? If you were meant to give up and stop in the middle, what was the reason you got started? So I remind myself always, what was the reason I got started? And as we go, or as I go during the process, my motivation might change. I started for a reason, but now I have different reasons that I push through whenever challenges come my way. So yes, that is such a good reminder that hey, we can go through the challenges that we get thrown at, and we are way more capable of what we sometimes might believe in, So
Agreed. And I like what the word you use, test. I think life gets a feather and kind of tickles you and goes, I'm just testing if you're still in here. And if you don't listen, it then gets a stick and pokes you a little bit and goes, I'm just checking that you're still in this. And if you don't listen to that, it gets a brick and throws it at you. And then and that brick, it's like, oof, yeah, felt that one. Okay, yes, I'm still here, I'm still on the course. So it's interesting, isn't it?
And as we said, as you grow, as your responsibilities grow, I mean, in your case, now you have a team of employees and partners. Now you have also lots of customers that rely on you and your services, right? Guess what? If you decide that this is not for you and oh, it's too hard, you cannot. It's not only about yourself, but it's also
It's
about
all of those
loading
people.
so many people down, right?
And this is the truth, Ali. So when I do go through challenges, that's the stuff that actually keeps me going, because I'm like, no, we've got so many people that we're serving and that we're helping. And don't get me wrong, we've focused a lot on challenges in this conversation. There's also been a huge amount of triumphs too. So wins and successes and awesome things. So I don't want people to think that this is always just a really challenging journey. It's not. There's the highs and there's the lows. You need to be real about both of them. And you got to celebrate the highs, right? When we have success on things. We just got another two customers yesterday, and I still celebrate every time we get a customer, and I'm just like, yeah, another person we can help, another person that we can get to know and help build their businesses. Like, that's super exciting. So I never lose sight of why we're doing this and who we're impacting as well.
That's amazing. And maybe that's a great point that you brought up. Maybe it's a good way to wrap this conversation up with, hey, what are the rewards that you get as an entrepreneur and as a business owner? Other than being flexible and flying all over the world, what are the rewards that also emotionally give you what you want,
The biggest reward for me, yes, flying around the world and working our own hours, like, that looks really glamorous on the outside, right? But it's really not. Like, it's really not. Like, yes, I love getting on an airplane, but that's the only time that I really kind of relax is when I'm on a plane, because I'm not online and I'm just chilling, which is good. So all that good stuff is great. The stuff that really gets me, Ali, like, we were on, I say we, myself and Art, we've got two new team members, two new sales guys that joined us a few weeks ago, which is just wonderful. And we were on a customer call, doing a check-in call on their campaign, their marketing. And this customer was just overjoyed. He's like, I can't believe we're only 5 months in and I've got $120,000 of profit that I'm sitting on. And I'm about to close a property next week that's going to be about 80,000 profit, and I've got one closing the week after that's about another 100. And so in the space of a few months, we took him from zero to where he is, and he was talking about stuff and I started crying. I get tears in my eyes. Like, I literally get emotional when I hear about our customers being successful. It still gets me on a daily basis. If you've ever seen some of my testimonials, where I'm filming with customers and I'm getting feedback from them, you'll see me be a bit glassy-eyed. And I've actually we had another customer that sent me a video testimonial 2 weeks ago, Matt and Charlotte, and they sent it to me without me knowing, because we've got an app called Video Ask that people can send us in feedback. And they sent it to me, and I watched it, and I was just tears in my eyes, and I sent them back a video response, and I was like, guys, oh my God, it's that stuff. It's when you can impact someone's life and work with people. Like, it's just that stuff gets me. Like, look, I'm getting glassy eyed talking about it now. That's the stuff, and that's why we keep doing what we're doing.
That's so powerful. And I always remind myself, at some point we gotta go, that's for sure. At some point we have to go. There is no other option. And let's do something amazing while we're here, and let's impact. That's also a reason why I started this community and the podcast. Let's have an impact on other people's lives and do great thing and leave something behind that maybe we ourselves had not access to. There was no such thing like an immigrant entrepreneurs show or podcast that people could access and then come to community and get support from. So absolutely, I do believe it is, of course, the financial rewards and everything, but really the deep meaning behind everything is, to have an impact on other people's lives and make their lives in one way or another better. So,
100%.
with this being said, I really, really appreciate you. Thank you for your time. I definitely know how busy you are, and I really, really want to express my gratitude to you coming here and giving us your time and, having an impact on other people's lives that are maybe in early days in their journey and are planning to do what you do, or maybe have already started. So please give us also an idea of where people can find you and what are the services that they might be able to get help from you.
Yeah, thank you, Ali. And I just want to share my huge appreciation and gratitude for you as well for providing this channel for people to come together and connect, because it is a entrepreneurialism is small enough, but when you put immigrants in there as well, it makes it an even smaller group of people, right? So thank you for everything that you do. So we have our main business is Supercharged Offers, as you know. And so we provide real estate acquisitions marketing services for any type of real estate, where we help the real estate investor with their data, their direct mail, their digital marketing. We build websites and online footprints and run ads. We do cold calling, whole range of things. So what we really want to do is help any real estate investor out there. We've got people in 9 countries all doing deals in the US. They really help people to streamline their acquisitions engine and get super consistent and get more deals, which is great. So if people need to find out more about that, they can just go to superchargedoffers.com, or they can find us on Facebook under Supercharged Offers, or they can just email me direct. So Alicia, it's Alicia at superchargedoffers.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we will link up in the show notes your website and your contact so people can reach out to you, or maybe if they have questions and need some advice. Yes, as I said, thank you so much for being our guest today, and
Thank you, Ali.
I hope to see you soon in person. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.